Yes, you're listening to Insight Wednesday, August the 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and on an Insight Wednesday, I like to talk about an issue that our listeners are interested in. I received this note, and we're going to probably spend the whole time just on this issue. Listening to KFUO recently, I heard a missionary answer the question as to what his most important task was on the mission field. And he said, it is repairing relationships within a family. And this helps us to understand why so many churches have a lower attendance than they did 10, 20 years ago. It's because of the breakup of a family in certain areas. And this letter kind of talks about that area. I'll just give you a brief background of the woman who sent this to me. She became a Lutheran some years ago and started attending a Lutheran church near her home. And she says, I felt at home. She was invited to the Lutheran women's gathering. But one of the women that she had enjoyed talking with got very animated and angry when she saw a pro-life display. She said that any woman who had been raped or a victim of incest should get an abortion. I was breathless. The only thing I could say that it was murder of an innocent child. She walked away and I felt she avoided me for a while. Then later on, this same woman brought up the subject of homosexuality. She was complaining that a young member of church felt it was a mental disease. But she said, no, homosexuals are born that way and they are good people. I was breathless again. I said, it is wrong no matter whether one considers a mental problem or not. I said, it is a sin. She again got agitated and said that we all sin and we're supposed to love everyone. Then later on, a few weeks, she said that a member stopped coming to the church because her homosexual son was not welcome. Then the person who sent me this note says, I must tell you, I am tired of the confrontation. And she says, thank you for your daily teaching of law and gospel. I know that I am a sinner who needs God's holy word to guide me. I am ashamed that I just do not know how to respond to the arguments all around me. Well, let me start off by saying this. I think this woman did a wonderful job in responding to the arguments all around her, particularly on abortion and homosexuality, because she says the woman who had complained walked away, and I felt she avoided me for a while. Now, we need to be really careful to think that we are unsuccessful when we say something to someone on the basis of the Bible and they don't agree with us. If that is true, then Jesus was one of the most unsuccessful individuals who ever lived. Well, yes, there were a couple of Pharisees, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, who came to faith. But the vast majority, it appears, of unbelieving Pharisees were not persuaded even by the words of Jesus. And I don't ever remember Jesus saying to the Father, Father, give me the words to say so that they can be convinced. He gave a parable, and I heard this, I think, on the Bible study yesterday, and never really thought of it this way. It was a great insight. The parable of the sower. 3/4 of the seeds went to waste because they were on dry ground or thorns got up or weather destroyed the crop or whatever. Only 1/4 of the seeds were good. That led to a wonderful harvest. We Christians need to understand that. That particularly in a world that we're living in the United States of America, where even the Supreme Court has allowed the murder of children in the womb and now said that gay marriage is a constitutional right, wherever they found that. Yes, we're coming up against a lot of people who get to know individuals, say they get to know a homosexual, and they end up with saying what this woman said, namely that homosexuals are born that way and they are good people. Well, I could say the same thing about a pedophile. You don't have to figure much about pedophilia without figuring out that it's often done by what many would consider good people. For example, in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch this morning, there's an article about an official in the Roman Catholic Church who has now been removed from his office because they found that he had been fooling around with boys years before. In fact, in an article I read, they were mentioning that 60% of priests at that time were homosexuals. Now, that was from a Roman Catholic magazine. I don't know if that was true or not. But the fact of the matter is that why are we so much against priests and young men, particularly when we now allow gay marriage? I mean, that appears to be a contradiction. Because a lot of these young men willingly went along with the priest in what they were doing. But to get back to my main point, how are we to respond? I think we respond the way this woman did. She says the law. When you're dealing with a person who does not agree with Scripture and is unrepentant concerning a certain notion, then you simply say, well, that abortion that you think is okay, it is murder of an innocent child. She walked away and I felt she avoided me for a while. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. We are not successful when what we say converts someone. In fact, I've had a lot of people in adult instruction that were not Christians, and I can say they were converted during the process of adult instruction, but I would not say that I converted them. No. It was the Holy Spirit that used the words I was speaking who did the conversion. The woman who was angry got agitated and said that we all sin and we're supposed to love everyone. Now, this is a Lutheran church. The note wasn't clear as to whether it's Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or ELCA or whatever. Because the ELCA, they okay homosexual marriage. I mean, two of their ministers who are male just got married. And abortion is not a sin at all times. So I'm not sure what Lutheran church she was at. But as to whether there are many of us like her, and here's what she said. I'm ashamed and I just do not know how to respond to the arguments all around me. You respond the way you did. That you are critical of it because it contradicts the scripture. The fact that the woman walked away and avoided you for a while means that you really were successful. Because if somebody tells me a law or a rule that I'm breaking and I don't consider it to be a sin, like, for example, somebody may come up and say, I hear that you bought a car that wasn't made in the United States. Aren't you for American products? You sin before Almighty God. I don't walk away from them. I may have a discussion with them. I don't lose a bit of sleep over it, because that's not a sin. If somebody walks away from you, it's because, even by natural law, who can imagine that abortion is not a sin? In fact, I just saw a police program, and these are true stories, about a pregnant woman who was killed by an intruder in her house, and the baby died within her. Guess what the prosecutor did? He accused the intruder of a double murder, both of the woman and of the child. It went to court, and he got a double sentence. I really couldn't understand it. It was life in prison without parole plus 60 years. I'm trying to still figure that one out. If life is in prison without parole, when does the 60 years start? But be that as it may, normal people recognize that that which is in the womb is a human being child. And therefore, what would I suggest for this woman to do in regard to these comments in support of abortion, in support of homosexuality, if she is a member of a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation? And I think she is, because there was a pro-life item that the woman was first angry at. It was a pro-life display. You don't see those in many ELCA churches. The first thing I would encourage her to do is to go to the pastor and say, you know, you have a member who appears to be for abortion and for homosexuality. Now, the pastor should definitely visit that individual to see if it's even true. Because sometimes I'll have someone come into my office and I say, I just heard somebody say this, you know, about the doctrine in this church. And I always ask, well, who is that person? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I say, well, then leave the room, because I'm not going to listen to rumors. Only if you have a name that I can go and visit. And so this is really important. And hopefully, if it's a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, they can go to this woman who has these unbiblical views and help her come to an understanding of God's will in this area. If she would not come to an understanding, I would put her on what's called a minor ban. What's that? It's not excommunication, but it is the ability of a pastor not to give communion to a member who is not repentant of a sin. Now, I want to do that the next week. I would try and have some visits with her. And every pastor can tell you that when they follow that route, a number of times the person will just leave the church and join another congregation. I was taking a look at a newsletter from a LCMS congregation last night. They keep sending them to me. And they had the number of transfer-ins, the number of transfer-outs, those who had died, a change of addresses. And then they had one other category, left the Lutheran Church for another denomination. That's not at all unusual. And it can happen because of marriage. It can happen because they no longer agree with the teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's a lot of families who have teenagers, especially those who are now going to college, and they're coming back with views that are contrary to the Word of God on both abortion and homosexuality. And I think the letter did a good deal. For a while, in fact, I think I talked about this a few weeks ago, there are those who are saying that homosexuality isn't a sin, it is a mental disease. And why would you put anybody in jail for a mental disease? Well, remember, for some people, alcoholism is a disease, and yet we'll put people in jail for that if they hit somebody with their car while they're inebriated. So just because it's a disease doesn't mean that a person isn't held responsible for it. But we don't believe it's a disease. It's part of the old Adam. It's part of what we call original sin. We believe, teach, and confess that every child, even conceived in the womb, is a sinner. And therefore, there are different kinds of sins that they learn to do as they grow older. But the fact of the matter is, God doesn't make a distinction between active homosexual and an active gossiper. Both sins need to be repented of. And therefore, how does that come about? It comes about by what this person did, is stand up and say, boy, that is a sin. But does that mean, okay, let's say you have a child and he's arrested for robbing something at Walgreens and he's in jail. So you go and visit him. Are the first words you say to him, son, because of what you did, I no longer love you? Of course not. Love trumps any disobedience. That's why you often see in movies that those who are closest to the criminal are the parents, especially mothers. And they just hardly can believe he did it. And once they realize they do, that still doesn't stop them from loving. Yeah, I just saw another detective movie, a true story, about a daughter who just loved her father and found out later that he was a serial killer. And she's looking forward to the day that he gets executed in order that he might receive what he had been giving out. And then she was asked, do you still love him? And she said, yes, I still love him. And I found that really insightful, that you can still love people when they're disobedient. And the best example of that is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Don't get the impression that when you counter false doctrine in the church and nobody listens to you, that you are unsuccessful. Because our task is not to persuade people, but to share with them the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit do the persuading. I can't tell you how many homosexuals we've been involved with who have left their homosexual lifestyle, become Lutheran, and are no longer participating, even though they're often tempted to, but no longer participating in that lifestyle. In fact, it's so successful in some churches that the state of California has now made it illegal to attempt to persuade someone not to be a homosexual. Can you believe that? Well, the church isn't going to listen to them. Because every week we have one task, and that's to show that every person is in the pew is a sinner who confesses that they deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And so sometimes you got to point out to them why what they are confessing is absolutely true. And so in this case, I would not see three sinners, but only two who are unrepentant. I would not consider the woman who's trying to answer these questions and unable to persuade them as being unsuccessful. No, she's doing what Jesus did, and she needs to keep doing it. And remember, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. So it's not that you don't get sad when you're trying to help people out and they ignore you. That's just like Jesus was. But the two sinners are those who are unrepentant homosexuals because they're not born that way and they are not good people. Now, original sin may move them in certain areas, and lust of the flesh is one of them. And so in one sense, you could say, yeah, they are born that way. And that's very important to understand, because that doesn't mean that God has condolences over that or gives permission. Most people who don't have a conscience, who are able to murder others and it doesn't make them feel bad, they were born that way. You don't blame God because they willingly went ahead and did what they knew what was wrong. So the first sinner is the person, the unrepentant homosexual. The second sinner is the one who is defending them. Particularly when it comes to children. Because as the Bible says, whoever offends one of these, my little ones, it'd be better a millstone be tied around his neck and he'd be drowned in the deepest sea. And therefore, if a child is attending a school where the teachers or maybe a friend or so says that this gay lifestyle is okay, they are causing them to sin if they go ahead and agree with that. And you just heard the punishment that God would expect on them. Ask the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Did they get to understand that God would not tolerate such sinful behavior that was unrepentant? The first line of defense, it seems to me, if you feel comfortable, is to speak the law to people in the congregation who are speaking contrary to the word of God. But the second line of defense is to definitely go see your pastor. Because a proper pastor is to preach the word of God in its purity, which means he is trained as to how to speak to these people and make it even clear of their sin. But the second part is also a proper use of the sacraments. And if a pastor is aware of someone who has doctrine contrary to the word of God and is spreading it around the church members and making them feel bad because they don't agree with this false doctrine, and the pastor goes ahead and communes that person, that is also sin before Almighty God. The refusal to commune someone is a very loving act. Because if you go to 1 Corinthians 11, it's very clear that people who were taking the Lord's Supper in an inappropriate way, these are Christians. Some of them were getting sick and some of them were dying. So don't give me this song and dance that close or closed communion is not part of Scripture. Yes, it is. If a pastor truly loves his members, he will refrain from giving communion to those who are unrepentant over any sin. And I think this helps us to understand why there are divisions in the church. Because just because the government comes out for the murder of a child in the womb or for gay marriage doesn't mean that that's God's will. The government does many things at times that is contrary to the will of God. In fact, when the government told the apostles, stop preaching Christ, remember what they did? They said, we must obey God rather than man. So thank you very much for this letter. Thank you for your confession of the law. And let the Holy Spirit take over. And my advice to you would be, go visit your pastor and explain to him the situation so that he might be able to meet with those who are contrary to the word of God. on the next Long Gospel Rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz, Sessions has now done a speech where the government is going to protect religious thought and words. We're going to go into that in more detail, but it's really an important move on the part of the government, and we pray that you'll have the opportunity to hear us. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.